When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
Thursday is December 5th. Wow. 20 days to Christmas. Pete, I keep saying it out loud because I believe that if I say it out loud, it will become more real to me. The thing is, it's blowing my mind that we are 3 weeks to Christmas, and that means not even 2 weeks to my one-year anniversary. I will be honest and tell you, there were more than one instance this year as a brand new wife in which I said out loud to my husband, I am the worst wife in the world. Does that change after year one? Do you stop feeling like you're the worst spouse in the world after year number one?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So I'm not alone in this, right? My girlfriends tell me that's fairly common because it's such a big adjustment. And for me, even a greater adjustment in year one, well, and for my husband too. But for me as a wife, because I lived by myself for so long, I mean, I waited a long time to get married, not a secret. It's an answer to prayer that goes back decades, both me and my mom and some select friends in my life that believed that it would happen for me and never gave up on me or on God answering the prayer. And so I waited a long time. I lived alone for a long time. I was extremely naive. I'll say it a bazillion times about the adjustment of having another person in the house full time. A person that's always there. He's always there. He never leaves. And that's great. I love him with all of my heart and soul. He was worth the wait. But it was a big adjustment. For him, the adjustment has been moving from Texas, where he spent most of his life, to New Jersey, which is, can safely say, nothing like Texas. So it's been an adjustment for both of us. We moved into a house together on New Year's Eve last year. So we're coming up on 1 year of living together. We've only known each other for 2 years. So there's been a lot of adjusting. But at the beginning, the first 4 or 5 months, man, I felt like the worst wife in the world. I'm doing this wrong. Something's wrong. This is it's not supposed to be this hard, but it was such an adjustment. Everything from when do I talk to my mom and my friends to when do I exercise and am I allowed to take a nap anymore and why aren't the dishes where I put them in the cupboard? Those types of things. Not the things that people told me, like whether or not the toilet paper. Now, see, ours stands up. It doesn't lay down, so it's vertical. Whether or not the toilet paper pulls from the left or the right, like those kinds of things don't bother me. But things like where I put the dishes in the cupboard and then my hubby empties the dishwasher and the dishes go in a different place and I don't know where they are. Those types of things.
That'll always be there. That stuff will always be there. You know how many times I put something in a place and my wife moves it? And I have no idea where it is, and we're on a wild goose chase for pretty much the entire night.
Thankfully, I have calmed down a lot over those things because what I kept hearing in my head, Amy, does this really matter? In the grand scheme of things, does this really matter? And also my mother-in-law had this very wise rhetorical question that she posed to me earlier in our marriage. She's terrific. I'm so thankful for my new family. She said to me, well, would you, because I was talking about the chaos in her house and just how it's crazy. It's hectic and it's a lot to adjust to. Would you rather have calm and organized and everything in its place? Or would you rather have your husband? No, she didn't call him that. She called him by his name, Bob. Sometimes she does call him Bob. So that rhetorical question puts it into perspective really quickly. Of course, I would not go back to my house is in perfect shape, which it really wasn't. My family gave me a sign a few years ago Christmas that said, the house was clean yesterday. Sorry you missed it. Anyway, so it's not like I lived in a perfect house or palace or anything, but a little more organized, and I felt like I had a little more control over what was happening in my house. Not so much anymore, but it's a sacrifice that I'm willing to make. Now, I can't blame that all on Bob because we have introduced a new dog into the house.
Once animals and children get involved,
yes,
that's
then you really lose control.
Then it's just get to the next point.
It's Texas tornado.
That's right. You just survive in advance
all the time. I love that. I'm going to use that. I sometimes do use that during the month of October. Just survive in advance. Get through one day and worry about tomorrow.
Or in a football sense, run the ball.
just advance the ball.
Advance the ball.
Just
get
move the
first
the chains.
Down. Get the first down.
I like it. All right. Well, when we get to the next step, I'll be coming to you for that reminder. But people have asked me about the new dog, so I want to make sure that I give you guys an update because you'll laugh at this. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. It's, man, a Thursday, early December. We're heading into week 14 of the NFL season. If you missed my conversation with Lindsay Rhodes from LA, terrific. She was talking in front of a Christmas tree, of course. And she and I talked about some of the great storylines in the NFL and, of course, looked at Lions and Bills as a potential Super Bowl matchup just because it's Christmas season, so it's fun to have some fantasy, some dreams out there. Could you imagine Bills and Lions in the Super Bowl? Whoa. Talk about a sentimental matchup that would bring a lot of people on board. It'd be awesome. So you can catch that conversation on our podcast if you missed it. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. You can find us on Facebook or on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. Many of you have asked about the new dog and whether or not the adoption is official. So we've run into a couple challenges, Pete. So I don't know how many of you have rescued dogs or adopted dogs that had been either dumped or abandoned, so gone through some tough times. Initially, that's all we knew about her, is that she had been dumped. And we knew that she was with a foster family. And what the foster told the rescue organization, right, before we picked her up, is that she was really calm inside. Well, that's not been our experience. And also, there was no mention of the fact that the dog is clearly resource guarding. I'm not sure if you know what that means. Think two little kids who don't want to share toys.
Right.
And when one of them has a toy that the other one wants,
they're going to hold it.
Right. Your son's going to go and grab it from your daughter.
Right.
And not just that, but back himself into a corner and refuse to give it back.
I was playing with this.
Exactly. And throw a fit. Right. Throw a fit. So in the case of a dog, what this sweet dog does, and she's a puppy, but she's also been through a bunch of trauma, meaning she was abandoned, then she was in an animal shelter, then she was in a rescue organization, then she was in a foster, now she's with us. So we don't exactly know what happened, but we do believe that she was mistreated because of the way that she cowers sometimes in a corner. If she feels like she's in trouble, she'll go find herself a little hole between the recliner and the wall, and she'll wedge her big old body into it. We think she's an Aussie cross with either a Lab or a Great Pyrenees. She's a big dog. And at 81 pounds, she packs a bunch. Anyway, she's afraid. She's afraid when she gets, I don't want to say we yell at her because that's not true, but you raise your voice and no. And she'll run and she'll hide in a space where only she can really get in. And so she has this other thing that has become a bit of an issue, which is she grabs toys, or if it's not a toy, slippers, socks, little stuffed animals, pot holders, paper towels, anything she can. She's a puppy. Anything she can get her mouth on, and she knows she's not supposed to have it, so she then bolts into her crate or puts herself back against the wall. We ran into, unfortunately, a few times her growling loudly, And then when my husband would try to talk to her, and he would even get down to her level and not be towering over her, he didn't raise his voice, she would growl and even snarled at him and snapped at him once. So after about 10 days, and that happening a few times, we were pretty sure we couldn't keep her. Not only because we're about to be around a ton of family over the holidays, but also because we have a smaller dog, a little dog. So Daisy is 20 pounds. The other dog is 80 pounds. And it just, we felt like it might be nerve wracking. But also, you don't want to be afraid of your dog. And my husband has experience with a dog in the past who was fine for 10 years and then hauled off and bit a child in the face and had to be put down. We do not want that situation. So unfortunately, we were planning on saying, saying to the rescue organization, I think this is not a good fit for her. She'd be better in a home without another dog, so she's not resource guarding. But we have gotten attached to her. She's sweet. She's lovable. She's goofy. She licks everything. Oh my gosh, she licks everything. She, as I tell you, she will put anything in her mouth. She plays tug of war with dish towels if you let her. I mean, the dog tears up every rope toy that we've given her. I think I've ordered 7 rope toys. She's tore them all up in the span of 24 hours and sometimes not even that long. So she's a really cool dog and we would keep her if not for the resource guarding. Well, we went back to the rescue organization. Come to find out, the foster left her in the kitchen all the time. So for 10 days, other than when the dog was outside, the dog really never left the kitchen. So couldn't get into anything, and they didn't know that she had this problem or that she got really stressed about resources. They've offered to let us work with, they've offered to have a trainer, their trainer, evaluate her to see whether or not this is a problem that they think they can fix. In the meantime, now it's been almost 2 weeks since we've had her, and we adore her. She knows her name. She's getting settled into the routine. Daisy is getting more comfortable. Daisy's our other dog. Now, Sugar, the cat, they've had a few interactions, like nose bumps. But Sugar, she's right now, she's staying upstairs. We haven't seen her downstairs a whole lot because the dog is really rambunctious. So I'm not sure it's great for Sugar. But Sugar spends all day with me. She sleeps on the bed with me while I sleep in the daytime. So she's all right. It's just that she's staying upstairs for now. But they're going to try to send this trainer to evaluate her to see if it's something that they can fix. But in the meantime, though, we're really getting attached. She has a tail that will knock you over. And now the second she sees us, that tail goes like it's a fan. I mean, it's like a Swiffer. Nobody's business. And it would be really hard to part with her. So we're struggling with that a little bit. Wanting to be smart and recognizing that maybe we're not the best fit for her if she continues to resource guard and if she really is going to fight you for things. Now, on Tuesday, we had a great moment, so we're really excited about this, where she grabbed a slipper. Wasn't supposed to have the slipper. So you know what she does? She grabs the slipper and runs into her crate and backs herself into the back of the crate where not only can we not reach her, but you dare not reach your hand in there because of what happened in the past, which is, again, not something we want long term. But my husband decided not to say anything to her. She was growling at him. He didn't say anything to her. He just got down on her level. He sat outside the crate. He looked at her and he looked at her and he looked at her. And you know how dogs get weird about eye contact? After 5 minutes of growling at him and him just looking at her, not saying anything, not reaching, nothing, she dropped the slipper. And after another minute, she walked out of the crate and left it there. And then there was another situation later. So she gets these stuffed animals with squeakies. And within seconds, she has torn the squeaky out of it. So she was eating a squeaky, but it was one that we were worried she might swallow. And in that case, you got to be careful. We didn't want anything to happen. So it was a small enough squeaky that she had it in her mouth and you almost couldn't see it. And I was nervous because I didn't want her to swallow it. We weren't sure we should reach out for it, so we didn't do anything. She got up initially when she saw us kind of moving toward her, went to go in the crate. And then we just called her a couple times, real calm, didn't even tell her to drop it, nothing. She drops it. She comes back to my husband and wants to have a big hug. So she's very huggable. So we've had 2 positive interactions, but we're still a little leery. And the thing is, every day that goes by, It'll crush me if we have to say goodbye to her because she's getting settled in. I can even let her off the leash now a little bit in our yard. She gets the zoomies in the morning and runs around like the Tasmanian devil and then collapses. So she sleeps all day while my husband is working, which is kind of unfair because when I'm working, the dog's like, ah, bouncing off everything, which is kind of funny. She thinks she's a lap dog at 80 pounds. I really want to keep her, but I... Obviously, we have to be on the same page and be the right space for her.
Right. It's I'll use another sports term. It's like Jerry Jones trying to figure out, is it going to keep Mike
McCarthy? No, it's not like that. We're not paying her millions of dollars.
No, I know. But just see if it's a fit. You know, like
How about kids analogies? Because I feel my husband has described her as a toddler. She's like a toddler.
Right. No, it's... You know, right from wrong, trying to figure out what works and what doesn't. And it's very tough, especially when a dog's staring at you in the eyes and wagging a tail and being very friendly.
She's got big old brown eyes and she just wraps herself around you. And when I walk in the door in the morning, she starts bouncing up and down. She's so happy to see me. And same thing with him. Yeah, in the afternoons we come back from our walk and she runs in the house and she climbs in his lap, well, as much as she can because she's 80 pounds. So we really do like her and he, I think, is warming up to her a little more. But if this becomes a problem, then what do you do? So
that's the million-dollar question.
Right. Also, I'm not sure either one of us really thought deeply into the challenge of driving 1,700 miles one way to Texas and then back. With two dogs in the back seat. So Penny was 75 pounds, and I could easily take her in Princess Leia, and we would do road trips all the time. But to have two of them, and this dog is sizably, I mean, she's not fatter. That's the wrong word. She's not heavier, but she's taller and she's bigger. Well, plus Daisy.
I think now.
We might need a wagon.
You might be able to have, if this is not the dog for you, the transition would be at the holidays.
I know.
And then come back with, trying to find another one.
I know. And thankfully the rescue organization understands and says to us, hey, we get it. You don't want a dog in your house that's going to be growling and snarling at you. So I do believe that the trainer is critical. Also, she desperately needs a bath. So I finally gave in and wrote to the rescue organization, hey, can I have her records? Because I can't take her to a groomer until I have her vax records. She desperately needs a bath. She stinks and she's itchy, right? So she's been in all these different places.
Oh, so she might be irritated. She might be just dying.
Maybe she just needs a bath. Maybe that'll cure everything. Maybe she just needs to smell like lavender.
Yeah. Bath and Beyond, Body World, all those places for a reason because people want to smell good.
That's a good point. So maybe that's the entire root of the problem. I think that you might be onto something, Pete.
See? I'm the dog whisperer.
Any more toddler analogies, you just let me know because I could use some toddler advice with this here dog.
There's so many of them, I have to give them when they come about. When they happen. So like when I leave here and it happens, I will report back.
Yes. Meanwhile, I'm doing my best to not be over the top attached to her, but sometimes I feel like I can't give her back. I will if I have to.
That's why you got to think like it's a general manager.
It's true to deal like it's business.
Right. Like
it's business, not personal.
Like you're Joe Shane with Saquon.
Do you think that was the right choice?
What?
Joe Shane and Saquon.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just an example of
a GM and a player.
A GM and a player. Yeah, of a player leaving.
That would make me a really bad dog mom. But thank you all for asking. I do appreciate it. Many of you have inquired whether or not we're keeping the rescue dog. I don't even want to say her name until I know what we're calling her anyway, until I know that that I'm sure she's going to stay with us. And if she's not, then we'll be starting fresh with another rescue and hope that one works out a little bit better. Speaking of working out a little bit better, that was a transition that I can make from dogs to football always. Things are not going well for the Raiders, for the Jaguars this season. It's tough to figure out all of the issues, but you would expect changes in the offing. Well, it went from bad to worse for Jacksonville on Wednesday. And wait until you hear what Max Crosby has to say about dealing with the Raiders season. You know, misery loves company, so we'll give them some company on this edition of After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The entire thing is, you know, Aziz hits the guy, but their sideline overreacts, and it turns out and turns into a melee. It wasn't our guys. It's their team overreacted, pushed our guy, dragging our guy to the sideline. So that's uncalled for on that side. We have to be better on the sidelines as well with both teams.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of one D'Amico Ryans, head coach of the Houston Texans, pointing fingers at the Jaguars after the Aziz Al-Shaair hit that knocked out Trevor Lawrence. And it's now become essentially a season-ending injury, a concussion that puts him in protocol. He's on IR. There are five games left. He would have to miss four of them. So effectively, it ends the season for Trevor Lawrence, unless, of course, the Jags decide to bring him back in that final week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. D'Amico pointing to the overreaction of the Jaguars on the field when Al-Shaair took a forearm and jammed it into the head and neck of a sliding Trevor Lawrence. Doug Peterson meeting the media on Wednesday, and he was asked about D'Amico Ryan's reaction.
I was a little surprised. And look, I've got a ton of respect for D'Amico. He's a former player. I'm a former player. Emotions run high. I would say that if it happened, you know, to their quarterback, I think the reaction would have been the same, quite frankly. I mean, so, but again, look, it's this was 3 days ago. And we're on to, you know, we're on to Tennessee, obviously, and focused on that. But I do think that the reaction is a natural thing for any player, any team to feel.
I agree with that, especially what Doug had to say about the roles being reversed. If the shoes, the cleats, were on the other foot, if the pads were on the other bodies, and it was C.J. Stroud who had taken a hit like this from a Jaguars defender, are you kidding me the way the Texans would have responded? Absolutely the same way. And John Runyon in the NFL office, who initially wrote the letter with the three-game suspension, which, by the way, that's been upheld. The NFL has denied the appeal of Aziz. What we heard from John Runyon, or what we saw from John Runyon in the letter, is that he believed, and the NFL believed, that it was escalated. The melee was escalated by Al-Shaair himself, not by the Jaguars. That he refused to leave when he was ejected, and that he was still taunting and yelling and sparking this brawl, this conversation, keeping it going, this electricity, long after he...
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
He should have. That he should have been on his way out. Now, what about the hit? As it turns out, Trevor Lawrence was dealing with some injuries, but this is the one that will put him on IR. That means Mac Jones will take over the rest of the way. And how does Doug Peterson see it as a former quarterback?
We've got to somehow eliminate these plays. These are plays that... can change outcome of games. I think it'll be something that's looked at. I know there's a lot of it's offensive guys versus defensive guys when it comes to the QB sliding and getting out of bounds and things of that nature. They've even modified the rule for sideline, hits and things like that. And we coach our quarterbacks to protect themselves. Get down when they can and that was obviously a second down play and. Ended up being a third and inches play, but we just continue to coach our guys and show them ways to protect themselves and go from there. But as far as the punishment and all that, I'd leave that into the league's hands.
So yes, you're going to see different perspectives from quarterbacks versus defending players or players that have to make the tackles. And what D'Amico was saying, in theory, I understand that the quarterbacks know what they're going to do and when they're going to slide. But in a split second, especially at full speed, to ask a defender to react sometimes is asking too much, or to ask him to pull up or turn away or change the trajectory of his tackle. But in the case of Aziz, and this is why I felt like his comments, while he said that he wasn't necessarily applying them to this Trevor Lawrence moment, I thought they were ill-placed and probably inappropriate at the time, because Alshire goes in with his forearm. He wasn't trying to wrap him up. He didn't have arms extended attempting to tackle Trevor Lawrence and somehow makes contact with his head and his neck because of the drop, the slide. No, he went in with a forearm. So to me, that was... one that was intentional. And if you see the slide, it's clear that Lawrence is going down. It's clear that he's sliding. I agree with the NFL in that this hit could have been avoided, could have been prevented. And the way that he lined up to hit him, too, to me felt like the unnecessary part, the over-the-top part, the type that would, in the college game, maybe be labeled as targeting, or at the very least considered under the targeting rule. In this case, it was a personal foul that got him ejected, which is a new rule change for the NFL, right? It used to be that you had two personal fouls and that was automatic ejection, but now they can actually throw you out on the first one if they deem the hit or the behavior to be that much of a violation of the spirit and the integrity of the game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So we mentioned the Jaguars and the fact that now at two wins, they've lost their quarterback and there are likely to be changes coming up. Mac Jones will take over, and he's not played poorly. He actually played pretty well going back to, I guess, when he took over for Trevor the second half. He had some real nice throws, and they had a couple of scoring drives to make it not quite as large a margin against the Houston Texans. Then you think about the other teams that right now are vying for the number one overall pick in the NFL. So it's Giants, Jags, Raiders are the three teams that are sitting on two wins. That's it. Max Crosby, he's taken over the place of Larry Fitzgerald and Tom Brady, I suppose, on the show Let's Go with Jim Gray on SiriusXM NFL Radio. And he has been really honest about how tough and challenging this season has been.
I'm competitive as they come, you know what I mean? I put all my time and effort and spirit and soul into this, you know, into being the best version of myself. I care about winning more than anything on the planet. So, yeah, like there were points in the season where I feel like I was losing my mind. You know what I mean? I had to really reset. And, like, the best version of me is being, you know, not just a great player but a great leader and being the best version of myself, bringing positivity. Because if I can sit around and be negative, and if I live in that, I'm just like everybody else, and I'm not like everybody else. I feel like I'm here for a reason, and I could fall into that trap and be, you know, a part of the crowd, or I can be a leader. And that's what I choose to be. You know what I mean? It's a choice. And yeah, of course it sucks, but I'm going to be the best version of me every single day, you know, going forward.
I love his honesty. I love the fact that he's candid about what's happening. And he has said, I felt like I'm losing my mind at different points in the season. Now, if you're wondering whether or not Max will leave, according to our Raiders insider Hondo Carpenter, who knows Max personally, there is no chance that he leaves, or very little chance that he leaves. He wants to be a Raider. He's committed to the Raiders and wants to see this turn around. But we wonder whether or not Antonio Pierce will survive. So, yeah, your two-win teams, the Giants, the Jaguars, and the Raiders. Then you've got a handful of three-win teams like the Patriots, who are first season post-Bill Belichick. We saw this as well from Let's Go on SiriusXM. Belichick talking about the Patriots and what's holding them back in the first year of Gerard Mayo.
Yeah, just haven't done enough to win very many games on any level. You know, they had trouble on defense. One of the last ranked teams on offense, if not the bottom rank, missed some key field goals and some, you know, kicking plays as well. So I'd say all three areas of the game just haven't been, you know, good enough to win. And they still got a couple games left against Buffalo, right? So they have a bye week this week. So
sounds
maybe
fun.
They'll get a few things straightened out, but it's just been a pretty inconsistent year. Just haven't been able to do enough to win when they needed to.
He does go on to say in the same edition of Let's Go that he feels for a lot of the people with the Patriots. He said most of the defense are guys that I brought in, not to mention Gerard is someone who played for him and then coached with him. I appreciate that, and I will say this until the cows come home or until Bill Belichick ends up on an NFL sideline. I can't imagine never seeing him as a coach again, but I suppose I felt the same way about Bill Cowher when he walked away and went to broadcasting. I would really like to see him coach again, but also I'm fascinated every time he talks about football. He doesn't always give you a lot, but on the shows where he does, so Pete, if you've ever watched him with the Mannings on Monday night with Peyton and Eli, he's very real there. He does not hold back. Like, for instance, when he talks about how he can't stand the Jets, he just says it. I don't say he'll rip guys, but he's honest when he thinks a guy screwed up or when an official makes a bad call or misses a call. So you get the real Bill Belichick, the kind of guy that you would think if you're standing on the sidelines next to him and getting the full Belichick experience while he's watching a game or coaching a game, you're actually getting it. Maybe with a few choice words that are removed or eliminated or held back, but you do get more authentic Bill, which I really appreciate. He's got a great sense of humor. I think a lot of people are seeing that. And so to hear him talk about the Patriots is interesting. Now, when he talks about the Jets, he's almost giddy about their lack of success. And we had talked about this with Lindsay Rhodes, who joined us from LA earlier in the show. They're also sitting on 3 wins, and they've made multiple changes, including coach and general manager. It seems as though quarterback is right there as the next big change they will make and pull the plug on the woeful Aaron Rodgers experience. But Aaron has said he's going to continue to play the rest of the season. We heard him on Pat McAfee on Tuesday, and he doesn't actually feel like he's playing for his future.
I think it is ridiculous, with all due respect. You know, if they want me to stay, fantastic. If it takes these 5 games, maybe they don't know what I bring to the table. But that being said, I'd love to play really friggin' well the last 5 games.
The idea of Aaron Rodgers having to prove himself, play for his future, he calls that ridiculous. Doesn't believe he has anything to prove. I ask this question. Will Enigma help or hurt when it comes out, Pete?
Hurt.
So you think there's more in this Netflix series about Aaron Rodgers that would lead the Jets to believe they need to walk away from the quack?
Not so much what's in it. It's more of the fact that it's out. And it's another thing with Rodgers. And I think it's oversaturation of him. And I think that's going to drive fans up the wall, Jet fans up the wall. And I think they're an organization that really, like, listen, like, not to say none of the football organizations listen to the fans. They listen to the fans to make transactions, I feel like, the Jets. So I think that's why
right. It's not every team does that. Not every owner does that. But there are some owners that listen to fan bases.
You shouldn't. In an ideal organization, you shouldn't be listening to talk radio or whatnot, making decisions.
True, but if your fans are the ones who buy tickets and merchandise and support the teams and they are largely unhappy, then maybe there's something to that, taking the pulse of the fan base.
Right.
But I agree with you. Fans are fickle. They're not rational. They're not logical. In the heat of the moment, we're very emotional as fans. We do not tend to err on the side of common sense, at least not in the throes of emotion, which is where you find yourself in a losing season. So that part I get. When it comes to the Jets, in terms of the quarterback situation, though, I don't know how you can bring him back feasibly. It's been an awful season. It's been essentially 2 wasted years for the Jets. If you're going to start over with coach and GM, you might as well start over as well at quarterback. The three kind of horsemen, the three heads of the horsemen, if you will.
Yeah.
Or in the Jets' case, the headless horsemen.
They're in need of a rebuild. I don't know if it's going to come, but I think you're going to get some of it. I think that includes Rodgers going.
Now, outside of New York, I do believe the Netflix series will be widely watched. It's a little bit like a train wreck. You almost can't turn away. We're rubberneckers in the United States. It drives me insane. The accident's on the other side of the highway. We have a barrier here. Why are you stopping to see whether or not it's someone that you know? In a city of 10 million people, I can't stand rubbernecking on the highway. But I do believe, as sports fans, as Americans, we're rubberneckers. So, all right, will you watch? You can find me online at A-Law Radio, our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Well, Amy, looks like a rough season is coming to an early close for Trevor Lawrence, placed on IR after he suffered a concussion on Sunday. Only 5 games remaining for the Jaguars, and Lawrence must miss at least the next 4. Bears turn the page from Matt Eberflus, leaving Caleb Williams in an interesting spot. Rookie didn't even get one full season with a program in place, but Williams not concerned this is going to stunt his growth.
I wouldn't say that it would affect my development. I think this is a stepping stone of development. You know, to be able to have all of this in my first year, I wouldn't say that I'm happy for it, but you know, having these moments is definitely something that will help me in the future.
House for the Ravens suspended wide receiver Deontay Johnson 1 game for conduct detrimental to the team after he refused to enter the game Sunday against the Eagles. Signing period has begun in college football. LSU head coach Brian Kelly doesn't seem all that thrilled with the new NIL way of life.
Today feels more like, you know, tax day than it does signing day. Scrambling the last few days. It's unlike any recruiting period that I've ever been involved in.
Checking the NBA, where it was complete domination from the Heat.
Here's Tyler, other side of the arc, pump fake. Nnamdi on his right hip, gets off it.
to Bam, back to Tyler for three. Yeah. Yeah. It's nine. It's nine. All these Lakers fans came in here to see LeBron, see AD, enjoy the glorious three-liciousness of Tyler Hero. 9 of 15 from downtown. He has 31.
Tyler Hero finished with those 31 as the Heat pound the Lakers 134-93. Call courtesy of the Heat Radio Network. Rest of your scores, T-Wolves rock the Clippers 108-80. Celtics bounce the Pistons 130-120. Nets erase the Pacers 99-90. Hawks put an end to the Bucks' seven-game win streak 119-104. And the Magic beat the Sixers 106-102. College hoops, Creighton stunned number one Kansas 76-63. Duke finished off Auburn 84-78. Cooper Flagg 22-11 boards. Iowa State handled Marquette 81-70. Alabama routed North Carolina 94-79. Oregon knocked off USC 68-60. And UConn upended Baylor 76-72. I'm Marco Belletti.
Producer Pete, and he's introduced this new game that I really like, though I do feel like it puts me on the spot, and I wonder sometimes if people are holding me to these things I say when I am forced to make a choice. It's called the knockout. You get a bunch of kids together in a gym, and knockout means something entirely different, but here in our studios, we got to pick one or the other, meaning we got to knock out one and stand with the other. And sometimes I get wishy-washy about it. So we'll see what producer Pete has up his sleeve this week.
We'll go down the coaching route. I always feel that's a good round one matchup.
Let's fire some coaches. Is that what you're saying?
Let's retain some coaches.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So the Giants retaining Brian Daboll or the Cowboys retaining Mike McCarthy? Which one are you getting rid of?
Wait, which one am I getting rid of or which one am I keeping? Wait, which one am I knocking out?
Yes.
Either the Giants or the Cowboys.
Right.
In firing their coaches.
Right.
No, in keeping their coaches.
No, in firing their coaches. So pick one that you're that you don't think is going to happen.
Okay, I'm knocking out the Cowboys retaining Mike McCarthy. More so because of the Giants organization, not because I think that Mike McCarthy needs to be fired. So just to clarify, you're asking me, I can only pick one who keeps his coach. The yes. Giants just, it feels like they're still on board with Brian Daboll, that they're going to go ahead and look at the fact that it's been Daniel Jones the entire time. The year before they gave him the fat contract, what happened? Well, Saquon Barkley had a huge year. The offensive line has never been improved, but they no longer have Daniel Jones. So maybe give Brian Daboll a shot with a different QB. To me, that's the thinking of the Giants. I know they don't love to fire coaches. So I kind of feel like that's more likely. But again, this is not me saying I think Mike McCarthy needs to be fired, because I don't. Only that it's probably more likely that the Giants stand pat. Phew, that's complicated.
All right. The Bills head to the Super Bowl or the Lions head to the Super Bowl?
Oh! I'm going to go Lions head to the Super Bowl because the Chiefs are in the AFC. And you can say the Chiefs aren't any good. In fact, we'll hear from Patrick Mahomes next hour. You can say that they are not nearly as powerful or potent or explosive as they've been in the past. All that may be true. But they are the toughest effing out in sports. They are so tough. It's not luck. If you think it's luck, well, then maybe you disagree with this. But the Lions, I don't want to say they have an easy path, because that's not the truth. In fact, their own division is really tough, and the Eagles are terrific. I'm a believer in the Eagles again this season. But the Bills and any other team in the AFC has to knock out the Chiefs, and that is proving to be the most challenging task in any of the four sports.
All right, round three. You want to take a fall in this round.
Pow. Where's pow? I need
pow.
Some.
Pow.
Like you get in the cartoons, like the comic books, where they diagram a pow exactly, but you have to hear the sound effect. Pow, pow, pow. Right? Or it's one of those video games where you get the punching noises because you're punching people.
Or it's the old Batman show where you get it on the screen. Pow.
Pow. But since this is not video, we have to go with the sound effect.
Correct. All right. You want to be knocked out in this round. More disappointing, Bengals or Bears?
Bengals. Oh. Bengals. Because Caleb Williams is a rookie quarterback. I know he's really good, and they're really surely confident in him that they have found the right guy for their organization, and they do have some weapons around him. But they're still working on the offensive line. The defense has not been as good. Matt Eberflus has taken the blame for that. The Bengals are more disappointing. Honestly, Pete, I feel like they've never recovered from the opening week loss to the New England Patriots in Cincinnati, where they scored 10 points. It knocked a bazillion people out of their survivor pools and off Survivor Island, which reminds me we have to check on that again. But the Bengals had it all lined up for them. I know Joe Burrow's been without T. Higgins, but he was healthy. He was ready to go. Then the Jamar Chase mess and all that jazz. Their defense has been so bad that even a perfect Joe Burrow putting up MVP-like numbers can't save the Bengals from losing these one-score games. So I believe that's more disappointing, because this was the toughest division in football last year, the Bengals.
All right, round four.
Pow,
kick. Pow on the screen. Hosting for the holidays or traveling for the holidays?
Oh, man. I love traveling for the holidays. Now that this is a road trip, too, where we can drive as opposed to fly. I don't love flying on the holidays, but driving where I can take the dogs, and now it's the husband and I, so we can drive 18 hours in one shot, which is what we're planning to do. Leave New Jersey and drive all the way to Little Rock and do it in about 18 hours, and then collapse overnight, get up and finish the trip to Texas, to Houston. We did it last year on our way to the wedding, so he flew up to drive back to Texas with me for everything we needed for the wedding. Flowers, a dress he couldn't look at, a dog, all that kind of stuff. So I like road trips. I'm okay with that. We did host for Thanksgiving, so I'm good to go for Christmas. So I'll say traveling for the holidays. Oh, no, wait. I'm knocking out hosting for the holidays.
You're knocking out hosting.
It's a lot of freaking dishes and laundry to do when you host.
Right. You're knocking out hosting. You want to travel. Round five. Final round.
Okay.
Juan Soto. We hear the talk about him. Will he stay with the Yankees, or will Corbin Burnes stay in Baltimore?
Ooh, this is tough, because there are only so many quality starting pitchers. I'm not saying Juan Soto won't have a massive market, because he will. The thing about Corbin, though, especially when you think about Blake Snell and the money that he just got, I think that you're looking at a wider market, if that makes sense, or a wider net for who. It's tough, because he's a great pitcher, and the Orioles would love to keep him. I think the Yankees will go all out to keep Soto. So I'm going to say Juan Soto stays with the Yankees. So I'm knocking out Corbin Burnes staying in Baltimore again, because I think the market for him is wider and more extensive because of the need for starting pitching. I'll say that he ends up getting lured away.
All right, and that's a knockout.
Pow.
Pow.
Pow. No, with some zest. And then, it's going to be tough to see. I can't wait, though, for the Juan Soto reveal, because that could come by the end of the week. It better not happen at 7 a.m. Eastern time on Friday, right after we get off the air. I'll be so mad. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning.